Oregonians for Drone Control, and Leanne Latrell DiLorenzo with the Oregon Equal Rights Amendment Campaign. I'd like to thank the man behind the curtain, X-Ray's Wizard of Oz, my good old producer Jimbo Sandberg, for holding it down. I'd like to thank X-Ray for letting me be me, and always, and by far most of all, I thank you, the listener. Thank you for listening. You're the reason I do this. Stay tuned now for Portland Nerd Radio on KXRY Portland, X-Ray FM.
Talk to one of Portland's own pirate slash gamer slash fire dancers.
We also look at Bones at Omzi After Dark. Check out Oni Press's new comic Princess Ugg.
And talk to you about our favorite women-led comics.
Welcome to Nerd Portland Radio. Welcome to Nerd Portland Radio on X-Ray FM. I'm Angela.
And I'm Richard. And it's been a pretty good week to be a nerd here in Portland.
Let's start with our interview. This weekend, I went up to Bonnie Lake, Washington, jealous, Ooh. For All's Fair, a Renaissance slash fantasy fair full of costumes and nerds and a lot of gentlemen wearing kilts with no shirt. Yeah. So, but the highlight of the weekend was the fire performance by Firekraken and a man named Justin Turner, who is a friend of mine, a local pirate and intense tabletop gaming nerd. Justin's really, really scary good at spinning fire. Have you seen him?
I haven't.
He's very good at it. It's terrifying. And he's only like set himself on fire a couple times. Anyway, so I sat down with him to ask him about the art of fire performance and his crew, Firekraken. I am sitting in the kitchen of Justin Turner, who is the host of the Going Last podcast, and also you are the... What is your role in Firekraken exactly?
I am the monarch of Firekraken, yes.
You're the monarch of Firekraken.
I rule it with an iron fist.
And Firekraken is a local fire performance troupe, which we will get much into later, but you also have an element of live music, which sort of makes you a unique fire troupe. Firekraken, like under the sea.
Under sea.
But
mythical creature with tentacles.
But with fire.
But with fire, because fire is awesome.
Yeah. So, Justin, do you remember the first time you saw, or one of the first times you saw a fire performer?
I do. I was traveling. I was moving across the country to California, and they thought the best way to introduce me to life on the West Coast was send me to a festival called Burning Man out in the desert.
Interesting. So, how old were you at this point?
16.
Okay.
And so, I was out there at Burning Man with this man who I barely knew, who I was told he was my uncle. Mm-hmm. And we went out there. This is a great story, right? I went out there and I saw these people playing with fire. And I like fire. I played with it then, but never really in a way that had any kind of form.
Yeah.
So I saw these people playing with this fire out there doing this art called poi, which is what I do mostly now. And I spent the next year banging my head with this fire instrument that I was able to acquire and various other parts of me, and eventually I just forced myself into being good at it.
So explain what poi is.
So poi is... poi is for...
Justin's dog, we put it outside, we made it back inside. How did that happen? How did you do that? Hi, Doc.
You have editing ability, right? Stop putting him back outside.
The dog has been put back outside. Now please explain poi to us again.
All right. Poi is from New Zealand. It's an aboriginal dance that they do with these orbs on the end of a length of rope or something of the sort. So for us, what we do is we have a ball of Kevlar on a length of a chain that's about a foot. And then we have two of them, and we spin them around our body to the sound of music.
And how did you learn, like, when you first started doing poi, how did you learn?
I literally learned by standing in my front yard and just spinning it and trying to do things that I remembered seeing on the desert the year before until I was too bruised or injured to continue. And then I would go out there and do it again the next day.
And you would do that with the fire or
without the fire? Without the fire. Unlit at that point. So it was just these orbs of Kevlar slamming against my shins.
And then what happened? When did you start actually spinning with fire?
Yeah, so I did this probably for about 8 months after that first Burning Man experience. And then I found a fire troop in my area that practiced, that went by the name of Fire Pixie.
Mm-hmm.
And I emailed the leader of that group and asked her if I could come out and check it out. I was interested in learning.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out there and I started playing with other people who also did, you know, poi and staff, and someone who did fire nunchucks and various other tools.
And when you first saw it and first got into it, what attracted you to dancing with fire?
I believe I've always enjoyed playing with fire. Uh-huh. And this just gave me a constructive outlet.
Just setting stuff on fire?
I grew up kind of in the boondocks of Florida, and we had a very large bonfire pit in the back of our yard. Mm. And we were always having huge bonfires. So I was always, you know, running around with sticks that were on flames or throwing things into fire to see what would happen,
mm-hmm.
including pop bottles, which those explode.
Cool. And so then you were like, hey, these people do it and people watch them and they're not getting mad.
Right.
Okay. So you started doing that.
Also, my need for attention, I believe, kind of worked out well in that as well.
Yeah, sure, for sure. What's the coolest fire show you've ever seen?
Coolest fire show I've ever seen in... And whenever I say see, I was actually part of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
It was at Burning Man my third year.
Mm-hmm.
I was part of what's called a fire conclave, which is fire groups from all over the country all kind of join in it around and dance around it, the man at Burning Man before they burn him. And so there was, you know, over 250 fire performers all performing at once.
Oh, that's awesome.
With this huge crowd of thousands surrounding, watching them before, mm-hmm. before the man got lit on flames. So it was a combination of being part of that and a combination of being able to watch it while I was, you know, soaking my tool and fuel to play, mm-hmm. with more fire, or I was playing fire safety or anything along those lines. So.
That sounds awesome.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. So Burning Man is sort of like the world event of spinning fire, sounds like.
It is definitely turned into the Mecca. There's a big fire event in Scotland that I went to as well. That was okay. And then I've heard there's one in Spain and one in New Zealand that a lot of fire performers congregate to.
Mm-hmm.
So
is there a kind of person who does fire, or is it like people do it for different reasons?
I'd say people do it for different reasons.
Uh-huh.
Me, I like fire and I like attention. people in our fire crew, they kind of picked it up as a form of entertainment to express themselves. Some people, you know, I believe it's just pure pyromaniac. They just want to play with fire. So
yeah,
different people. And that comes out in the way that they even have their performance. You know, like one of our performers is much more dancey, very dancer, and mm-hmm. her fire is very well contained, and she uses it to accent her dance as opposed to move the fire in a rhythmic way to entertain.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So some people will watch and look, like you and I were just at the All's Fair this weekend, which was a fantasy fair.
Yeah.
And as soon as the first fire started, mm-hmm. a child started uncontrollably crying and running away because they were convinced that they were going to be killed,
yes.
by the fire. So some people see it and they're like, oh my goodness, I need to run away before something dangerous happens. But you do a lot for the safety, right? I mean, like,
yeah.
Can you explain that a little bit?
We very much like to give the appearance that the fire is dangerous and that we could all get burned to death at any time and we could take down the entire audience with us.
Mm-hmm. And you do that by screaming.
By screaming,
and
yeah.
looking terrified.
Exactly. Uh-huh. But we set up a perimeter so that people don't actually get too close to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
We make sure there's not excess of fuel on our tools. We also have several fire safeties at all times who are trained in putting people out if they catch on fire.
And with like a blanket.
Without we have special blankets made of duvetyne that we use to put people out. We make sure everyone wears natural fibers so that they don't light on fire whenever they come in contact with fire.
Oh, okay.
My clothing often comes in contact with fire because I like to play with the danger with the crowd. And so I know about the limits before my clothing catch on fire.
Yeah.
And if it does catch on fire, I have fire safety. You know, I have lit myself on fire multiple times.
Yeah, so that and that being said, with the safety, like, what's the most dangerous thing you do in your performance?
I will occasionally, when I'm feeling saucy, I will do a blindfolded fire performance where I have someone put a blindfold on me. I can't see anything. And
so you really blindfold yourself.
Really blindfold. It's real. It's a real blindfold. And then they light my poi on fire, and I wait for someone to say go. Then I know my poi are on fire, and then I begin to dance.
Why do you do that, Justin?
The adrenaline is great.
Yeah.
Also, the audience loves it because it adds that extra bit of danger to it. And really, it's not super that much more dangerous. I have hit myself in the head and lit my head on fire before while doing this, and that's probably the closest I've ever come to actually, you know, igniting myself during a performance was during a blindfolded performance.
Are there any fire dancers who or fire performers that do not know what hair smells like when it is burning?
No. This is a very familiar scent.
Yeah.
Especially that first shower after a fire performance. It's like, oh yes, I burned plenty of hair.
That's really funny. The things that was surprising to me when I joined the nerd community in Portland, in a pleasant way, were the pirates. So how can you tell me how the fire relates to pirates and why the pirates are the way they are?
there's a long history of people eating fire and blowing fire, and there's actually some stories of in, you know, pirate towns, you know, like not Tortuga specifically, but similar places where inshore pirates would eat fire for entertainment purposes, or, you know, kind of like, oh, look what I can do, kind of the bravado thing, or blow fire. There's a long history of that kind of being with fire performers. You know, and so the pirates, Portland, are a little different breed. They're mostly entertainers by trade. So so we're looking for more creative ways to entertain. Fire's pretty entertaining, so that's kind of how the two worlds meet, at least here in Portland.
And you love pirates.
I love pirates.
And you know a lot about them.
A fair amount.
What first attracted you to that world, and why do you know so much about them?
Well, pirates, the first thing that kind of really drew me to pirates was oddly enough, like Indiana Jones, because he was this adventuring, swashbuckling hero. Who he just wanted to as I was growing up, it was this adventure of going out and doing things that no one else has done and seeing things no one else has seen. So you know, and then as time progressed, you know, I began to read more about pirates living in Florida. There's a lot of pirate history there, and you know, even our football teams there are named after pirates. And
so
whenever I came to Portland.
Your dog is excited right now.
He is very excited. He wants to come in. Whenever I came to Portland, I ran into this group called PDXER.
Yeah.
And they dress like pirates, and they sing shanties, and they do all this fun stuff. And it was a lot of fun to play around with these guys. Which ultimately led to my forming of Firekraken, which is kind of a pirate group in itself.
Yeah.
The pirate thing just wasn't... PDXER wasn't the right fit because it wasn't... just fire entertainment, which is where I really feel
all
like I need to focus
on. All you
care
about is fire.
Exactly.
That's all you care about.
So it kind of allows me to expand my horizons. Like we've done you know, this goth club called Steep and Thorny, and you know, we do some great shows there and things like that. So, but I love pirates, but I also love fire more.
Yeah, sure. So there are a lot of people who have seen Indiana Jones and also live in Florida, but not all of them know the whole history of Tortuga. Like, what do you think about you makes you like look into this stuff? Like, what makes you that nerd?
I I don't know. It is really the my love, you know, growing up in Florida, I love the ocean. I love being on boats. I love all this stuff. And then I loved the swashbuckling of Indiana Jones. And so it's just kind of that kind of came together. And then I love reading the stories about the Caribbean pirates specifically, you know, and I liked some of the other ones too, but you know, it's really the romanticism of the Caribbean pirates that's really drawn me in. And, you know, granted, Pirates of the Caribbean sure didn't hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What sort of fire performance thing would you never do?
I will not breathe fire anymore.
Why?
So breathing fire is when you hold a certain amount of fuel in your mouth, and you blow it out in a certain way, and it creates the big dragon breath that crowds love.
Yeah.
But I've had friends who didn't do it quite right.
Yeah, super dangerous.
And super dangerous and burned the insides of their lungs. So, you know, I don't feel like going to the hospital and spending time on a respirator for playing with fire.
Yeah.
It's also really bad for your teeth and tastes awful.
Yeah. Well, that's unnecessary.
Right.
It's unnecessary.
I figure we can entertain without having to do that.
Absolutely. So what would you tell someone who wanted to get started in fire performance?
I would say the best thing to do before you play with fire is, you know, learn your instrument, your tool very well, and try to get a hold of other fire performers to help you with the safety aspect. Because really, you don't want to be burnt. You don't want to be that guy on YouTube who catches his face on fire because you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. Absolutely. And where can people find out about Firekraken?
Firekraken.com is the best place right now. Our social networking mojo is a little weak, but we are on Facebook. And let's see here. Our next performance is going to be at Sea Dog Nights in Lebanon, Oregon.
Which is a pirate event?
It is the biggest pirate event in the Northwest. So
wow.
It's kind of like the pirate version of Burning Man. So
there you go. Awesome.
Be fun.
So set things on fire with Justin Turner, everybody. Say goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us.
Check out Justin and Firekraken at firekraken.com.
And they're also in this week's DoubleClicks music video at thedoubleclicks.com.
You're listening to Nerd Portland Radio on X-Ray FM. Let's talk about what we did this week.
I hear you went to OMSI. How was that?
It was pretty much awesome. So Wednesday night was OMSI After Dark, which paired together a Cider Fest and the Dinosaurs Unleashed exhibit.
That sounds like the perfect combination.
Yeah, it pretty much was. The cider ran out in about an hour and a half. There's so many people there. And then all of these drunk people were just wandering through this animatronic dinosaur jungle. So it was good.
So are there any new facts about dinosaurs since we were kids? Are they about the same or what's the deal?
No, it's all different now because they discovered this fossil where they think dinosaurs have more feathers, I guess. And so there's all of these dinosaurs that are covered in fur basically and have feathery wings, and it's totally weird.
So they're kind of like Godzilla villains?
Yeah. Gigantoraptor was my favorite one because it just looked like Big Bird. It was just all covered in this yellow fur, and then it had this weird, you know, creepy beaked head that killed things.
So people should go to the exhibit, I take it.
Absolutely. Even not drunken, you should definitely go and see these. They're very cool, and it runs until September 2nd.
That's at OMSI. And you've also been playing a game I can't pronounce that you think is great. Tell me about it.
Okay, this game is called The Yogg, and it's this this really beautiful choose-your-own-adventure-style interactive fiction video game. Amazing.
Okay, so is it online? Tell me more.
Yeah, it's not online. it's a multiplayer game, and you're part of this city that's going to be destroyed by the Yogg, and you have to decide how to spend the last 6 weeks of that. So you can be a doctor, you can go to the tavern and drink, you can go to all these parties at the governor's mansion, you can meditate, you can landscape.
So have you been playing with other people?
Yeah, I've played with two players, and it can go up to four. And I think multiplayer is the way to go because then everybody can kind of see these stories happen and they can, you know, make fun of each other. And it's great. And then the Yogg comes and you decide how you're going to rebuild the town afterwards. And then it's over. There's a little epilogue and it's done.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And it's got a great soundtrack. It's hopeful. It's spooky. It's weird. The art is just, it's gorgeous. It's a great game. Anyway, if it sounds like your kind of game, it's on Steam for $5 until June 30th. It's $10 after that. Just get it, play it with friends, and then really tell us what you think about it.
Awesome. This week, I got fed up with the video games industry and made a bit of a ruckus about it on the Portland Mercury. And after that blew up a tiny amount, Oni Press got in touch with me and asked if I had read their new comic, Princess Ugg.
Oh.
Which is, I think, it seems to be something they're proud of and thought that me as a feminist would enjoy.
Well, did you?
Yes. I've read the first issue. The second one came out this week. And there's more. Princess Ugg is written by a guy named Ted Nyfe. I don't know how to pronounce his name. He also wrote a series called Courtney Cremren, which also has a female protagonist. So he is a man, but I forgive him because he is trying. Princess Ugg is a story of a young girl from an isolated warrior kingdom. She has like a mastodon and a bunch of battle axes.
Oh, wow.
And then she leaves her home to go to princess school with all the like clean, sophisticated princesses. In the first issue, she finds herself at odds with sort of the queen bee, the protagonist, the prettiest, most sophisticated princess of them all.
Okay, so this sounds kind of like the plot of Mean Girls right now.
Yeah, it's basically the setup for every high school teen girl movie, except in the medieval magical past. And the art is really great. The comic is good. If it was a Disney movie, like the arc would start the same. Like it's not crazy original. She would like eventually learn to be herself and also get married at the same time.
Okay, all right.
But so it's hard to tell if I love the book before I know where it's going. But Oni seems to think that it's going to make feminists happy, so I will keep buying and check it out.
Good. All right. So in the meantime, we asked our Twitter followers to help us out with some suggestions of characters with awesome female leads.
Yeah, we asked them for their favorite comics. So let's get started.
Well, Geeky Lindsay and Matt Trodson both suggest Saga,
which I totally agree with, by the way. That comic is awesome. It's got there is a strong woman, there's other people that are great, of all ages, and I'm a big fan.
All right. Jeremy Kloss tells us that his favorite webcomic for this is Girl Genius, and in print he likes Lumberjanes.
I actually just started reading Lumberjanes. Have you read it?
I haven't.
Okay, it's really cute. It's like a comic about girls at a camp, but it doesn't feel the need to point out, like, we're girls. This is a comic about, like, it's just a cool, weird story with magic and, you know, kids getting into trouble. And I think you should check it out.
Okay.
We also got some suggestions of manga. Josh Kloss suggested Azumanga Daioh, which I have heard of, but I do not know anything about.
You have heard about it, so you know more than me.
Okay, so you have not heard of that.
I have not.
Okay. And then several people said Batwoman, Birds of Prey, of course, Miss Marvel, and Captain Marvel. All superhero comics.
Yeah, you know, I love superhero comics. So I like these a lot. These are great titles. Definitely recommend them.
Nan Cedar, a girl after my own heart, said she likes the Buffy the Vampire Slayer comics.
Good.
Of course, good. Whedon was going to come up, Joss Whedon, because obviously.
Another recent comic suggested was Rat Queens. That was from Mike Sugarbaker and Christian Lipsky.
This is a great comic. Have you read this?
I haven't, no.
It kind of reads like, at least the first issue, sort of like somebody wrote fan fiction about their own D&D campaign. Like, it's just like,
really?
This is what happened. To me, as a person who's done a lot of D&D, that's what it reads like. But it's about this party that's all women, and it's really good. Like, the art is great because all the women look different and act different, like, even though they're ladies. It's a really good time to beginning into comics. Especially if you like characters of all genders. There are a bunch of new things just starting up that are really good, I think. Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks to everyone who participated on Twitter. Stay tuned next week to help us out with another question. And if there's a comic we missed, drop us a tweet at NerdPDXRadio.
Thank you. You're listening to Nerd Portland Radio on X-Ray FM. Let's talk about some local events.
This is a pretty exciting week because Portland's very best events calendar for nerds has relaunched. GeekPortland.com has all of your geek social events, whatever you need to do. It's extremely well curated and organized. We recommend you definitely check it out at GeekPortland.com.
This week we suggest tonight, first of all, you go see David Sedaris at Powell's. I think that's at Cedar Hills. I mean, why wouldn't you go? It's David Sedaris.
And Sunday, this is exciting for me, Ground Control is hosting a Space Team tournament. Space Team's this fun little like indie multiplayer game. It's on iPads and iPhones. And everyone's trying to keep this ship together that's just falling apart in space. So they're shaking their iPads and they're twisting them and they're doing all these weird things and yelling at each other.
Yeah, it's very loud. It's great. It's hard to, that's the fun of it. Anyway, that's at 6 p.m. at Ground Control. And please bring your device fully charged,
right.
Obviously. That's it for us this week.
All right, thanks for listening to Nerd Portland Radio.
This guy's strong and distant. That guy's kind and meek. Each reminds me of a version of myself I want to be. The school's abuzz with gossip. It's been going on all week. But that's not the decision that the world awaits from me. Alien forces are approaching. The war has been declared. And I don't know why, but I'm the chosen one and I am scared. I'm a little worried that my friends don't seem to care. You'd think they'd cancel classes so we all could get prepared. And it seems a little weird that you're all talking about guys when people all around us are fighting for their lives. They need a hero who's going to fight. They need the weapons. They need food and light. I wish that I could deal with that new friend request that's pending, but now isn't the time. Can't you see the world is ending? So finals start on Monday and the spies have found our place. I know you disagree, but I'd rather save the world than just save face. Lasers hit the bunker. Droids surround the base. Do you really still believe that failing math class is the worst case? So you and Kate are shopping for new dresses for the prom, but I'll probably take a rain check while I try to stop the bombs. They need a hero who's going to fight. They need the weapons. They need food and light. I wish that I could talk about the hashtags that are trending, but now isn't the time. Can't you see the world is ending? I'm leading the army. Their fate is in my hands. You tell me I'm behind on memes. I don't know all the latest bands. Right now I've got a mission, and it's time that we began. You tell me that I need to see the future of Hamster Dance. The hero who's going to fight. They need the weapons. They need food and light. I'd like to whine about the things that YouTube's recommending, but now isn't the time. Can't you see the world is ending?
Just heard Nerd Portland Radio on X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland, 91.1 in East Portland, xray.fm online. It's 10:30, well, 10:29 really. Up next, an episode, a special presentation of Unfictional, Why I Ride the Bus. At 11 o'clock, 5 useless degrees and a bottle of scotch, and then at the noon hour, Tom Hartman. Stay tuned.